Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I have got an incredible guest for you today. Her name is Nadia Finer, and she is a person calling us over from London, England. And her business is Little Voice, Big Business, and you will learn exactly why she calls it that. So, Nadia, how are you doing today?
Hey there, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me and for inviting me all the way over from London in the UK.
Oh, it's just a pleasure having you on, and you've got such a sweet voice. I can't wait to hear your story. It's just amazing. So what I like to do is get my audience to get to know you better. So, you know, the journey that you went through to become this online coach or this personal branding coach and an author and a speaker and all these things, you started out as an accountant, but then you kind of figured out during that process you had some things that you had to work through. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey there?
Yeah, sure. Well, it all began at a party when I was 21. It was a school reunion and everyone was bragging about their jobs. You know, they'd got these big shiny jobs. And I thought, oh my goodness, got to get me one of those. So off I trotted and ended up working as a trainee accountant, which was not at all suited to my skill set. It was hell. And I was completely unhappy. I had no idea what I was supposed to do, but I just felt pressure to somehow be impressive. And so over the years, I kind of jumped from one job to another, always just discovering kind of what I didn't like about it and maybe a few elements that I did. I worked in marketing for a number of businesses, particularly in health and beauty, which was fun. Although being a brand manager of a makeup brand when you hardly wear any makeup seems a little silly, but anyway. And then from there, I ended up working for an innovation consultancy, which was interesting, being told on a daily basis to embrace the creative chaos. I learned so many interesting things there, though, and got to work with some really cool big companies, helping them to have ideas and to improve their customer experience. It was really awesome until one day I could no longer embrace the creative chaos. I couldn't deal with the madness any longer, and I ditched it to go and write a book with my friend. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a random, weird journey to get here. But I started with a book. So I think you and I have that in common in some ways.
Yes, we do. And that's really how this, my latest iteration, kind of got going. And so your book is called Little Me, Big Business. And what you had to overcome was this person who, I don't know how tall you are, how big you are, but you've got this little tiny voice, but you're really a big brand. You're really kind of a big presence. So how did you kind of use that to kind of get yourself in the mode of helping other businesses go from me to we, you know, in other words, helping them figure out how to grow their brands?
Yeah, so after I'd written my first book, that was called There's More to Life Than Shoes, I started another couple of businesses doing various things for entrepreneurs, and I really discovered that I was good at strategy. I was good at helping people to grow their businesses, but over the years it wasn't enough to actually be good at what I did because I was completely held back by myself. Ever since I was a teenager, there was this one day where I was in French conversation and I put my headphones on and I had to record myself speak about a film I'd seen. And when I hit play to listen back to the recording, I kind of got confused for a moment because the voice that I heard speaking sounded like a kid, like a really small kid, maybe 8 years old. And I couldn't understand why there was this child on the recording saying what I just said. And it was just this weird moment of realization that that was actually me.
Wow.
I know. And because I'd never really recorded my voice, I'd never heard myself speak before. And it kind of hit me pretty hard. You know, when you're a teenager as well, you're quite sensitive to things. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm a freak. You know, I sound so young. People are going to laugh at me. So I kind of vowed at that moment to just hide away, to avoid situations where anyone would notice how I sounded or any situations where I'd be visible. So I spent my teenage and young adult life sort of hiding, being, you know, aspiring to be successful and do things, but doing it on the quiet. So I'd avoid things like giving talks. I remember once at school I won a prize and I didn't go on the stage to get it because I didn't want anyone to, you know, notice me. I know, it's ridiculous. And then when I was writing my first book, one of the things I had to do was call up these amazing women and try and arrange interviews with them, you know, neuroscientists or entrepreneurs or mountain climbers. And I was afraid of phoning people. So can you imagine? I had to ring up, you know, like professors and duchesses and, you know, goodness knows who, and try and persuade them to be in our book. And I was literally shaking at the concept of phoning someone. It was really silly. And as an entrepreneur, it affected me over the years as well, because, you know, how visible we need to be, how, you know, you can't have a personal brand, you can't be an entrepreneur if you're hiding behind your brand, if you're never to be seen, you're not going to get very far. So, it, you know, it really held me back over the years. And one of the things I did was I actually brought in a business partner at one point who was really loud and confident and bullish, because I felt like if I had her there, I could sort of hide behind her. But it didn't go well, because it tends to be the case that if somebody is like that and then you've got somebody quieter, then one person will dominate the other. So it went badly. You can read more about that in my book. And from that moment, as I was kind of picking up the pieces of that failed business relationship, I decided to do things differently and to do them my own way. And that was when it occurred to me that actually my little voice and the fact that I sound like I'm eight and that people always phone up and ask to speak to my mum, or they suggest that I should be a cartoon voiceover, or the, you know, the list goes on. It's almost daily. The fact that I sound like this is actually a kind of superpower in a weird way. So I decided that I would try and embrace it rather than hide away from it. And the moment that I did and I created my personal brand, Little Voice Big Business, I was really able to turn things around.
And I love that story. And it's so true. You know, we, as entrepreneurs, we always tend to stand in our own way. You know, I remember when I first started, it's like, I'm not worthy to stand up on stage next to this person. But, you know, as we were talking beforehand, you know, standing up on stage for me is like second nature, because I did it with a guitar for years. And it's like, I finally figured out that, you know, as a guitar player and a singer, what's the difference between standing up there with an instrument in your hand or just your mind and being able to speak? And eventually I was able to overcome the fact that, hey, you know, I'm not this rock star in the speaking world, but I was a rock star in the music world. Why can't I just translate that over? A lot of people have. Second point I wanted to bring up was that, and it's funny because I just gave a presentation this week. One of the things I like to do is volunteer my time. And I was teaching a bunch of people that have lost their jobs how to use LinkedIn. And one of the core things that I teach people is that in today's economy, and this is true of people that are you know, working in the 9-to-5 and also people that are entrepreneurial or working in small business, is that the biggest change is we're no longer employees. We are personal brands. You have to think of yourself as a personal brand in the workplace. You have to think of yourself as a personal brand in the internet. So what were some of the lessons that you learned about that small voice, big business transformation that you're able to transcend into the people that you're working with that really impacts them the most?
Well, there's been so much, but I remember, you know, when I was first starting out as a coach, I thought I had to be like all the other coaches. I looked around me and there is a certain kind of a certain cookie cutter approach, isn't there, where all the female coaches out there look a bit the same, they wear the same stuff, they do the same things, and I felt like I had to be like that. And honestly, it was exhausting because I'm just not like that at all. And when I realized that I could just be myself, what happened was I was just more in flow. When I open my mouth, I tell the truth. You know, I'm just myself. I talk about my life. I talk about what I've been doing and how I've helped my clients. I don't have to check myself every time I say anything. I'm not pretending to be someone that I'm not. I'm just me. And I can be silly sometimes. I can be vulnerable. I can be quiet. But I can also be feisty, you know, and that's just the way I am. And so it's a lot easier just to be yourself. I remember an employer of mine a long, long time ago, she told me that you had to have your work persona and your home persona. I think it was because I was a bit of a pain at work and she was trying to get me to behave myself. But I felt like there was something fundamentally wrong with that idea. You can't split who you are. And if you're running a business and you're pretending to be something you're not, it just doesn't go well. And I think your clients or potential clients, they can sense this kind of disconnect. And the minute you are yourself, you tell your story, you're open and honest and vulnerable, if appropriate, you will attract the right kinds of people, your people. So now that I actually rather, you know, obviously before I wasn't like putting on a deep voice or anything, I was just hiding. So as soon as I became myself, I was much more able to be visible, because I didn't feel like I had anything to hide anymore. So being yourself, I would say it enables things to flow better. You attract your people, your tribe, because they connect and resonate with what you're saying. And I feel like you're also able to just be more out there and in the open without feeling like you need to hide away. Admittedly, it does help me though when I talk about my little voice, because I know that people can hear it, and rather than them kind of make, like, I feel like they're not sniggering or joking about it anymore, because I've addressed it up front, you know, so it's not the elephant in the room anymore. So that means for me, like, they can focus on what I'm saying rather than the fact that, you know, I should be doing cartoons.
Yes, well, and I would say that your voice and elephant are diametrically opposed. It just does not. I would never put your voice with an elephant, although in a cartoon that might be funny. Yeah, maybe. Exactly. So let's get down to some meat and potatoes, because that's going to help fatten up the system here. We want to talk about how entrepreneurs can kind of use the authenticity that you were just talking about to scale their business. And that's really kind of the key that we want to talk about is, you know, people tend to be solopreneurs, but, you know, if you're a solopreneur, you only have the same 168 hours a week, you know, 24 hours a day that Einstein had. So how do we as entrepreneurs use our authenticity, whatever our superpowers are, to scale our business?
Well, it's a really interesting question, isn't it? Because I think when you first think about personal brands, you worry that it means you're going to limit what you can do. Well, actually, I disagree. I feel like if you are you and imagine you're at the center of your business, there's so many things you can do to scale with you at the center. The work you do, the work, that's you. That's your superpower, your zone of genius. And you're not looking to actually like outsource that. It should always be you doing it. But what you're going to look to do is leverage it so that it reaches more people and has a bigger impact. The kinds of things I do in my business and help my clients to do is, say, package up their services, make sure they're charging their worth, ensuring that the relationship that you have with each client lasts for as long as possible. Often we tend to allow people to kind of dip in and out of what we're doing. Say you're a copywriter, you're just allowing people to come to you whenever they feel like it, and you're probably charging for your time. Whereas if you create packages that center around an outcome, you're much more likely to be able to increase the value of each relationship. And if rather than just one-off bits and bobs where you're letting people just pop in and out whenever they feel like it, you perhaps create retainers or look at models like memberships where you get this recurring revenue. It really helps you to reach more people, but also make more money. And the other thing is looking at the one-to-many. So I always like to still be me, the center of the business. I'm not looking to bring other people in to deliver my work, but what I would like to do is work with more people. So I have an academy, which I work one-to-one with clients, but I also have an academy called the Profit Pack. And in the Profit Pack, it means that I'm able to work with upwards of 50 women at the same time to help them to scale their businesses. And so that's one of the things I look to do with my clients, is whether an academy model would work for them, because it gets really amazing results and you still have that kind of one sort of personalized interactions, but you get to work with a lot more people over a long period of time. So therefore you're able to move away from selling your time, essentially. And you know, I don't have that much time because I'm a mom and I have a dog as well as a son, and I do a lot of boxing, so I don't want to work 8 hours a day. I can't. So this way I'm able to work, you know, 4 hours a day maybe, and help a lot more people. Plus, obviously, we're on a podcast here, aren't we? So think about the fact that when you have a product like a podcast, you're able to help loads and loads of people in a small way, potentially. But then it leads on to more things. So, you know, you're still at the center. It's still you. You're not compromising your authenticity or your message, and people are still able to connect with you in a real way. I really feel like connections are important and the real work is important. I scale. So I also have a coaching helpline, which is a really interesting new model where I'm able to help lots of people in a really super efficient way, but it's still me helping them. I'm not automating the work, you know, I'm still delivering real life coaching and real life advice in real time, but it just has enabled me to help a lot more people.
Yeah, see, and that's part of the challenge, because I know certain entrepreneurs basically want to outsource everything. And, you know, they want to outsource as much as they can. It's the dream of the 4-hour work week where you're sitting on a beach, you know, sipping margaritas, and you're making $1 million, which in reality, you know, if people are trying to purchase you, you know, if they want Nadia, you know, Nadia's got to get involved. You can't get a third person to do this. And when you do that, a lot of times they become disappointed. So that, again, we get back to that core authenticity of, you know, what are people purchasing? What do they really, really want? And what they want is you, your life, your experience, and what you can bring to the table. So you just kind of figure out, you know, how do I scale that in a way that makes sense for them and makes sense for me? I think that's uber important.
Yeah, I totally agree. For me, it's always about delivering real results. So I don't want to be on a beach running a big machine. I like the work. I like doing what I do. I like helping people and getting to know them. but that doesn't mean I can't be smart about the way I do it. So I've tried to create something which is super smart. I work with the one-to-ones. I have this academy of 50, and then I have Cochica, which is infinitely scalable. And I think other people can do the same. You know, I help my clients to do a similar thing in their businesses. But I think, like you said, what sets me apart from other people who are trying to automate everything is that I really focus on the value of the real impact that you have. I just don't like the idea that I'm selling something that doesn't really work, you know, like a formula or a blueprint, and you just go, bye then, off you go, thanks for paying me $2,000. Yeah, I know in my heart that it's not going to work and that you're going to get stuck anyway, but I'm just lying on the beach drinking another cocktail, so whatever. I don't think I could live with myself if I did that. So, you know, I don't.
Well, and I think it's super important. And one of the last points I wanted to make was that, you know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, if you're going to work with a coach, you want to hire a coach that is not just following somebody else's system. You want to hire a coach or a person who's going to help your business. And they could be a consultant or a coach or whatever it is, that's actually walked the walk and done it for themselves first, and then figured out a way to convert it into a system that they can teach other people to do. Because systems have to be, they have to be modified, they have to be adapted to everybody's personality, everybody's unique circumstances. And I just, you know, obviously, if you can get a million people in there, you're going to get 10% of them that are going to have the success. And that's, I think you're more along the lines as you'd rather have 80% success than 20% success, right?
Yes. And I agree with you what you said there about systems, but I would even take it one step further. You know, I have a framework. I call it the profit path. But I really like the idea that, well, everyone's business is different, and that's the fun challenge. For me, the work that I do is more interesting if I help different types of businesses, and I actually get to think about what's best for that particular business in that particular set of circumstances. I don't like the idea that you can just have this one method that anyone can follow, and that somehow magically it's going to reap rewards for everyone, because that's just not true. And it's much more interesting if I can help my clients have ideas and create new innovative things, not just kind of churning out the same old blueprints and processes that everybody's doing. I just feel like there's no fun in that, and ultimately it's a lot less successful.
I agree with you 110%.
Yeah.
So Nadia, this has been a blast. I mean, I've learned a lot, and I love your small voice, but your huge personality and your big ideas. And I'm sure my audience is going to want to get their arms around this a little bit more too. So you've got something so that they can kind of dig a little deeper. What is that?
Yes, I'm really excited because my book is coming out in a matter of days, and I'm offering you guys the first chapter of the book for free. You can go and download it right now before anybody else has seen it. You just head over to nadiafeiner.com/chapter. And you'll be able to download your free chapter there. And if you need a hand in your business or you want to chat to me, you can look me up on Facebook, or you could just head over to my website, nadiafeiner.com, and send me a message. And I'd love to hear from you and see if I can give you a hand with your business.
Nadia, great stuff, and thank you so much. And so if people wanted to learn more about you, your business, connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I think the best way is just to head over to my website. It's nadiafeiner.com. You can read a bit more about me. You can book in for a call or just send me a message. There's loads of useful stuff on there too. So just, yeah, head over to nadiafeiner.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and seeing if I can give you a hand.
Outstanding. Well, Nadia, this has been a blast, and I've had big fun with the little voice. This is great. Thank you so much for dropping some great sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps, and I'm sure they're going to get a lot out of this, and I really appreciate you and your time, and I look forward to connecting up with you again soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.